Good evening. Now let us start on the subject of spiritual healing. Spiritual healing from the standpoint of the infinite way. To understand this clearly, you must remember that the healing principles in the infinite way differ radically from what you have studied in other teachings. In other words, in many ways, our principles are the very reverse of some that we have heretofore been taught. And it is for this reason that if you would have success with infinite way healing, you must learn how these principles differ, or you must be able to completely forget what is behind and work from the standpoint of the principles as they have been given to us in this work. Now, I will illustrate that for you so that you will understand what I mean. In some teachings, the practitioner looks or starts to look into the patient to find the error that is causing the trouble. This is called uncovering the error. And presumably, the error is in the patient. Now, this teaching had its beginning before Christian Science began. And it was based on the discovery of a young boy who was hypnotized, and while under hypnosis, he could tell that if you had rheumatism, it was because you were angry at somebody, or if you had cancer, it was because you hated somebody or was very jealous of somebody. And so he produced a whole list of diseases and the mental causes behind them. Now, this list was originally adopted into Christian Science and was part of the working principles of their practitioners. Mrs. Eddy eventually discovered that this was wrong, and she recalled all of those lists. But some of her students, in particular Mr. Kimball, refused to give up this list, and this list is still published in his writings and in some of his students' writings. And so it still circulates among Christian Science practitioners. Well, this list was then adopted by Unity and by New Thought. And now it is adopted by psychology. And so this forms the basis of some of their practitioners, not all. And it involves accepting the fact that there is some erroneous thought in you which produces your particular disease. Now, in my practice, I discovered that this was not true. That evil does not exist, or rather does not originate in your thought. You may let yourself later become an outlet for it, but it does not originate in you, and it cannot be healed in you. All evil of any nature, makes no difference now whether it is sin, false appetite, disease, lack, limitation, all of these have their origin in what we will call the universal human mind. Not the individual human mind, the universal human mind. And in the moment that I know this, I begin to set you free. Instead of pinning it onto you and attaching it to you, I immediately begin to set you free by realizing, no, this does not have its origin in you. It has its origin out here in the universal human mind. I'll show you how it acts. If I sit up here and I look out at you and I'm thinking, what wonderful people you are, children of God, having the mind of God, the soul of God, and only God lives in you and works in you and through you. Now, you don't know that this is going on in my mind. I'm doing this up here silently. I am realizing the spiritual nature of you and the spiritual origin of you. You know what happens? You begin to like me. You can't help it. You don't know why. But you can't help it. And the reason is, I am seeing you in your real nature, in your real self, the way you really are, even behind the human masquerade, the way you are deep down, I'm seeing you, and you are rejoicing that you are recognized. Somebody is seeing you the way you really are, and you feel it, and you respond to it. Now, if I were to sit up here and start to criticize you and to judge you and to resent you or to minimize you or to judge you after human standards, you would begin to twist and squirm and turn and feel uncomfortable. Why? Because I would be malpracticing you. And even though you didn't know what I was doing, you would feel the result of it. Now, this is what happens in the healing practice. If I begin to look to you for some error, you really begin to feel my malpractice, and instead of being free and happy and joyous, you are uncomfortable under my censure, under my criticism, under my judgment. Now, this is no way to set anyone free. You can experiment with this in your home with your cats or your dogs or your birds or your little children. Watch what happens if, instead of saying, you bad dog, or you naughty cat, or you bad child, watch what happens if, without saying anything, you realize God made you. You have the qualities of God. You have the mind of God. Even the cat, even the dog, you have your intelligence from God at that level. You have your life of God. And God governs even the sparrows fall. And once you begin to know that, these animals change toward you, because you have removed the condemnation of humanity from them, or animality. And so it is, when you would heal, remember to remove the original sin from mankind, the belief that he was created in sin and brought forth in iniquity. You see, that is not the truth about you at all. That isn't the truth about anybody. That was a lie to begin with. Actually, we call no man on earth our father. You ought to call no man on earth your father. You ought to recognize that you have a spiritual origin. You may say, oh, the doctors and the scientists can trace us back to a seed. Yes, maybe they can. Where did the seed come from? Go and trace that back to its origin and see where you get. And you will find that not even a seed can be created unless it is created by God. And so you will begin to understand that really man is not your creator, nor are you a creator of anyone. God is the creator, and you are just the instrument through which the creation appears. But behind you, there is the God that created the seed. You might just as well try to trace an apple tree back to a seed and say God didn't create it. How nonsensical. There isn't anything that is visible that was not made from the invisible. Everything that is made of a substance that is invisible. Now, in the minute then that I recognize that God constitutes you, you are not the source of any evil. There's no evil in you, no God-constituted evil, and no self-created evil. Any evil that is manifesting through you has its origin in what we will call the universal mind, the universal human mind, or mind of man. And this immediately begins to separate it from you, and it leaves you as you originally are, the image and likeness of God, the very expression of God, God himself really in expression, life itself expressing itself. This is you. There is no evil in you. The evil is impersonal. The evil belongs out here to the universal mind. Now watch how true you can prove this. In the winter months, I don't know if you have this up in this climate, we have it in the States, a great deal of colds and flu, influenza, and diseases of that nature. Now, behind this claim, there is weather, climate, germs. Can you see that this did not originate in you? That this is some kind of a belief out here which perhaps you have picked up because you believed in it? But you didn't originate the idea of colds or grip or flu. You didn't originate the idea of germs. This is all something that happened out here in space. And you came along because of ignorance and picked it up. Now, when we are working with these cases in the wintertime, there is no use of treating you, because in an ordinary practice, we might have 100 people with grip or flu all calling for help, and we'd have an awful hard time trying to give each one of them a treatment every day to heal them, and it isn't necessary. Why? There's only one claim. It has nothing to do with you. It's a universal claim of weather, of infection, of contagion, of germs. And when we handle it in that way, not only one of you gets healed, but if there's 100 sick, 100 get healed. And there's only been one treatment because there's only been one belief, the universal belief in a selfhood apart from God, or a power apart from God, a presence apart from God. Well, this, when you experiment with it, this will prove it to you so conclusively that nobody is the cause of their own cold or grip or flu or pneumonia. You'll then be able to follow it out into other diseases and sins and false appetites, and you'll see the same thing. The origin of it is not in them, and you cannot uncover the error in them. It isn't there. The error is in a universal belief that there is a mortal man, or that there is a condition apart from God, or that there is a creation apart from God. It's a universal belief, not my belief. It's not your belief. In the infinite way, we call this impersonalizing. And this is the first step in infinite way healing. We immediately impersonalize by realizing no matter what it is, from corns to cancers, this is not you, this is not in you, this is a universal belief of a selfhood apart from God, of a power apart from God. Because you are God made manifest. You are life expressed. You are spirit revealed. You are the soul of God made manifest. You are the very life of God. The very breath you breathe is the breath of God. Therefore, you are really God's selfhood. And there is no evil in you at all. There is no sin. What was that at the trial? I find no sin in this man. And that is what our practitioners say to every case. I find no sin in this patient. I find no evil in this patient. I find that they are the Holy One of Israel, the child of God, the offspring of spirit, the very life of God expressed. And now we have impersonalized. Now, after we have impersonalized, we have a second step, and this is called nothingizing, making nothing. In other words, now we've got it away from you out here. But the next thing is, did God create this evil condition? Well, that's an easy one to answer. God is too pure to behold iniquity. God hath no pleasure in your dying. The Master says, I came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that you be healed of disease, that you be freed of lack, that you be forgiven your sins. So therefore, none of this could be of God. Well, now, if it isn't of God, it isn't power. Because God is omnipotence. God is the only power. And therefore, the moment you have impersonalized it, you nothingize it, you make it nothing by realizing that since it is not of God, it can have no existence. God beheld all that he made, and lo, he found it very good. He found no evil in his creation. Now, you come at this point to something which you already know, but which you have not accepted as an absolute principle. And that is this. You know that God is omnipotence. You have declared it. You have sung hymns about it. But you have never accepted it as an absolute principle. Because you accept two powers, a good power and an evil power. You look upon germs as evil powers. You look upon dictators as evil men. You look upon disease as an evil condition. You look upon sin as an evil condition. Therefore, you do not accept God as omnipotence. You have omnipotence and evil. But you see, if you would practice spiritual healing, this must be reversed, and you must accept God as omnipotence, and you must be able to look at sin, false appetite, disease, any condition without horror, and realize, no, if you are not a part of the omnipotence of God, you can only exist in man's belief. Now, a man can believe that 2 times 2 is 5. A man can believe that there are ghosts in the room. But the ghosts do not have reality. And 2 times 2 is 5 has no reality. Therefore, we cannot say that evil doesn't exist as a belief in the mind of men. It does. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be here bothering about a teaching, because we wouldn't be experiencing any evil. We only experience evil because there is a universal belief in the reality of evil, in the power of evil. And in proportion as you can accept God as omnipotence, in that proportion does evil lose its seeming power, its belief power. You see, it is ye who must know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Now, let me illustrate this for you. A man came to us some years ago with a disease, presumably incurable. And it so happened that this man was a doctor. And so, you can't very well explain to a doctor about the nothingness of disease or its unreal nature. But I could say to this man, this disease has no law to support it. Well, how can you say that? Every disease has a law. No, if it had a law, you couldn't cure it. because you can't break a law. You can't break the law of 2 times 2 is 4. You can't break the law that H2O is water. You can't break any law. And you can't break anything that has a law to support it. The laws of electricity, the laws of atom, the laws of nature. You can't grow peaches on apple trees. You can't break a law. If there is a law of like begetting like, you can't break it. There's no exception to it. And so it is. If a disease had a law, you would have an immortal disease. Because you'd have a disease that would be continued, perpetuated by its law. Therefore, you are safe in saying that a law has no disease. And of course it hasn't. If it had, wouldn't the law have come from God? Isn't God the lawgiver? And so if disease had a law that was given it from God, I should hate to see anybody try to stop that disease. You can only stop disease because it has no law of God to support it. Now, this man had a very, very beautiful healing, a healing which continues to this day. But in his own mind, he was able to accept that fact that if anything has a law, it has immortality. He could see that. Because he could see it, the whole situation broke. So it is. If you see a truth, if you comprehend a truth, if you can really understand a truth, the lie will disappear. Therefore, if you can grasp that disease has no law, it will fall by the very fact that you have recognized its nothingness. If you recognize this point, that God is not responsible for disease or death, you will destroy disease and death, because you will have known the truth that makes you free. Every time that you realize the spiritual nature of an individual and the universal nature of these beliefs, you are helping to separate somebody from disease, from sin, from fear, from lack, because they all have their basis in the original belief that in the Bible is called Adam and Eve, the belief in two powers, good and evil. It was accepting good and evil that sent Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've been eating of that tree ever since and keeping ourselves out of Eden. But you can return to Eden in the moment that you can realize God never created two powers. As a matter of fact, God is the only power. God is omnipotence, and beside God, there is no other power. Therefore, God is spirit. The only power there is spiritual power. And nothing else is power. You can call it material power, you can call it mental power, but you are giving it power by calling it. Because material power is not power, mental power is not power, only spirit is power. And as you cling inwardly to that, I acknowledge only God as spirit, God as law, God as power, and all else I recognize to be a universal belief of mind. Then you find yourself healing, because you don't have to fight a belief any more than you have to fight the belief that 2 times 2 is 5. Once you've recognized that it isn't a truth, your victory is won. Once you have realized that evil is not personal, it has nothing to do with the person who's suffering from it, except that temporarily they've accepted it. But otherwise, it does not have its rise in them. It does not have its origin in them. It is no part of their nature. The moment you recognize that, you have conquered. You have had a victory over the error, regardless of what its name or nature may be. But you must be firm in impersonalizing. You cannot lay the blame for something at a person's door in one breath and then in the next breath call evil impersonal. You must be absolutely universal in accepting this principle. It hurts at first, because, you know, there's a lot of people we'd like to blame for some of our troubles. I'm sure we all know somebody who has caused us trouble in our thinking. But really, they didn't. They didn't. We caused it by not seeing them as the child of God, by not seeing them. We malpracticed them, and the malpractice came back upon ourselves. Because, you see, it is literally true. You must call no man on earth your father, because you have a spiritual origin. You are the spiritual manifestation of the divine spirit. You are the eternal and immortal expression of the divine spirit itself. You are not physical, you are not mortal, you are not material, you're really not even human. You're divine. And the only part of you that seems to be mortal is the belief that there are two powers. Now, when you accept one power, you can understand why the master wasn't horrified at the appearance of disease or sin. He wasn't shocked at the man on the cross, and he wasn't shocked at the woman taken in adultery. Not a bit of it. He just looked at them and said, "Neither do I condemn thee. I'll take thee into paradise this very night." In other words, none of these sins have their origin in you. You are not responsible, and now that you have reached out to the Christ, you're absolved. Thus, you see, you take the burden of malpractice off of your patient, off of your student, off of your neighbor. You take the burden of malpractice off of everybody, even your cats and your dogs, and watch how different they are. And this is another thing about infinite way healing. In one of the books, it says, be as respectful of your patient as you would be of your cat or your dog. Now, if your dog or your cat was sick, you wouldn't ask him to read 10 pages of The Infinite Way. And you wouldn't ask him to go to church. You'd sit down and heal him. And you wouldn't expect any cooperation from the cat or the dog. That's the way you're to treat your patient. You are not to ask them to be spiritual. You are not to tell them that if they want their healing, they'll have to read so many pages of so many books. You're not to tell them that they must be more loving or more generous or more kind or more patient. No. No, you might just as well tell your cat or dog they mustn't be lustful. No, you don't do that. You sit down when your dog or your cat or your bird has a claim, and you just know the truth of God as individual life, the truth of God as the only power and the only presence. You know the truth that none of these evils belong to the cat or the dog. They're just part of a universal mortal belief. And you free them. That is the way you act with your patient. In teaching, that is different. In teaching, you give them the benefit of all the instruction you can, of all the knowledge you can, of the books to read, or so forth, the passages to read. Teaching is quite a different thing. In our monthly letter, we always have every month specific principles for the students to learn. This isn't that they may be healed. This is that they may learn the principles and heal others. You see then that if I am to be consistent, when you ask for help, now remember, you're thinking of someone asking you for help, and this must be your response. Of course, I will give you help at once. And immediately, you take this claim. You may not even know its name. In the infinite way, you don't have to know the name of the claim. You don't even have to know the name of the person who wants to be healed. Nobody ever tells me the name of their cats and dogs they want healed. And they get healed without telling me the name. And so I've learned that nobody has to tell me the name of the patient who wants to be healed. Because it doesn't make any difference to me. As far as I'm concerned, they are the same spiritual offspring of God that I am. So what difference is it whether you call it a rose, or whether you call it an orchid, or whether you call it a violet? It's still a flower. And so whether you call a person Bill or Jim or Mary, they are still the spiritual offspring of God. And I am not transferring any truth to their mind, nor am I communicating any truth to their mind. I am knowing the truth within me, the truth about them, but about any them it happens to be. Now, I don't specifically have to know the truth about Mary Jones or Bill Smith. To begin with, I don't believe that God knows their name any more than I do. Now, when the claim, then, is presented to me, to you, remember that first of all, you must realize this is not only not of man, but it really has no real existence. It exists only as an illusory appearance. Now look at the difference between a condition and an illusory appearance. A condition you have to fight. An illusory appearance you can just dismiss. If we were treating conditions, we would be a part of materia medica practice. And then we should really study for years and years and years and get a license. But we are not treating conditions. We are not treating disease. We are not treating diseased people. No. We are knowing the truth of man's true identity, of the illusory nature of the appearance, and then dismissing it. And then you'll find that your healing work very quickly begins. True, you yourself must be firm in these principles. You can't waver between hope one minute and faith the next minute and doubt the next minute. It is for this reason that it is always better to start healing work with the lesser claims of the human world and build yourself up. Although it isn't necessary, you can start with any claim that happens to touch your consciousness if you have the stamina to impersonalize, to realize instantly this has nothing to do with you. This is an impersonal claim of the belief in two powers. It's an Adam dream, an Adamic belief, a universal error. You see, you've taken it away from your patient immediately. Get it out here. Part of the vast mental illusion. It's an illusory appearance. It's a false belief of the universal mind. Then, when you've got it out here, now ask yourself, is it of God? Did God create this? No, God could not have created it, because God could never have created anything destructive to himself. And remember, your life is God's life. If anything happens to your life, it's happening to God's life. And certainly, God, who is infinite wisdom and divine love, has never provided for destroying his own life. And his own life is the only life you'll ever have. This is why we know beyond all question that you are immortal. You didn't begin on the day that you called your birthday. You won't end on the day you call your death date. That's impossible, because the only life that you are living is God's life. It isn't really you living it. It's God living his own life as you. Therefore, since God is the only life you have, you know right well he didn't create any disease to destroy it. God hath no pleasure in your dying. The will of God, according to the Master, is that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. That is why the Christ has come. The Christ has come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. When? Before Abraham was. When? Until the end of the world. Always remember, the Christ has been with you since God began. Christ will be with you unto the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So there cannot be any provision for your aging or dying. That you will pass from visibility is true, in the same way that you had to pass from infancy to childhood, and childhood to youth, and youth to maturity, because we are an unfolding consciousness, and we will continue to unfold unto infinity. And so there is a time provided for everyone to pass from visibility. But we shouldn't have to get kicked out of visibility with a disease. We should make a transition as provided in some normal and natural way. Now, the point for you to remember is God is the only life you are living, or that is living you. God is the only mind you have. God is the only soul you have. And even your body is the temple of God. Now, could there be any error in you? No. And regardless of what the appearance may be, the error is not in you. And when you've realized that, you have impersonalized it, and you've placed it out here in universal mortal consciousness. Now, when you've got it out there, make it nothing by realizing God did not create it. It has no part in God, and the Christ is present to nullify it. It exists at all only as an illusory appearance, like the sky that sits on a mountain, but you know it doesn't. It exists that way as an illusory appearance. The sky doesn't sit on the ocean either. This also is an illusory appearance. And all sin and all false appetite and all disease and all lack and all limitation exists only as an illusory appearance. And the moment that you impersonalize it and nothingize it, you begin its destruction. In some cases, you will have instantaneous healing through this realization. In other cases, it may take time because you have an element that you're dealing with, and that is the receptivity of the individual. That is why it is much easier to cure cats and dogs than it is human beings. The cats and dogs really aren't trying to hold on to something, and human beings usually are. And the very things they're trying to hold on to are the things that are most harmful to them. Try to see this. Whether or not a healing is instantaneous, it is certain. If you are willing to stand fast in the truth that you are not dealing with a condition that has to be healed or removed or risen above, you are dealing only with an illusory appearance that must be recognized and dismissed. Once upon a time, Mrs. Eddy wrote a sentence that, if it could be lived up to, would be enough to do the healing work of the whole world. She said, treat a belief in disease as you would sin with sudden dismissal. You know, if you knew why, as I've explained it to you in this talk tonight, in this lesson tonight, why you can dismiss it. You can dismiss it because it isn't of God. You can dismiss it because it doesn't belong to any person. You can dismiss it because it doesn't exist as a condition. It exists only as an illusory appearance. Knowing this, you can dismiss it suddenly, without bothering to sit around for hours and hours and hours trying to treat it away, when the it that you're trying to treat away doesn't even exist. All of the obstacles to harmony exist only in mind, not in God, in the mind of man. And they can only exist there as mental images, not as actual conditions. In some of these teachings, it has been taught that mortal mind causes disease. This isn't true. Mortal mind is not a cause. God is the only cause. And secondly, disease doesn't exist as a condition. So it never was caused. Mind is not a power. Mind is an instrument. You can fill your mind with truth and prove that the truth you take in your mind is a power. You can, of course, accept evil in your mind and make it a power in your life. Not that it had power of its own. You permitted it to have power by your acceptance of it. But your mind is neither good nor evil. Your mind has no qualities of good or of evil. Your mind is like your body. Your body cannot be good or evil. Whatever quality it shows forth, you must be making it. Of itself, well, a body can't steal of itself, can it? Never heard of anybody blaming their hand for stealing. A body can't commit adultery of itself, can it? No, there has to be a person. The body is only the instrument. So if we want to use our bodies destructively, harmfully, injuriously, sinfully, well, as human beings, of course, that's a possibility. It is no longer a possibility when you fill your mind, keep your mind filled with spiritual truth, because then there is no possibility of evil governing the body. It is only when you open your mind to evil that evil can have evil effects in the body. The way I want to illustrate this to you is this. I would like you to agree that you have a mind. Can you agree on that? Do you know that you have a mind? Positively? Then there is a you and a mind, isn't there? Right? Don't agree if you can't see it. But if you can, say it. Is there a you and the mind that is yours? Is there a you and a body which is yours? Do you have a body? Yes, you have a body. Is the body yours? God, can you do what you want with your body? All right. Now, I have a mind, and I can attune myself to God through my mind. I can open my mind to receive truth. Now, I know right well, because I've done it, I can also open my mind to look at a detective story on the television. And my wife can open her mind to look at cowboy pictures. And the reason is that we have a mind and we have control over that mind. And we can choose what is to come through that mind. The mind is not a power itself. It is an instrument that we use for whatever purpose we want to use it. Now, There are some people who want to compose, and they have to open their mind to receive melodies. There are other people who want to paint pictures, and they have to open their mind to receive art in that form. There are other people who wish to be inventors, and they have to open their mind to receive new inventions, new discoveries. Do you see that? Then there is a you and there is your mind, right? All right, now we have three. We have me and my mind and my body. Now, my mind is neither good nor evil. It is an instrument. And it is up to me now to choose what I am going to entertain in my mind. Now, since I have discovered that God is omnipresence, I choose to commune with God morning, noon, and night. And it is so joyous and so fruitful and so beneficial that I have no pleasure in communing with the evil nature or forces of this world. Therefore, I keep my mind attuned to truth. I read books of truth. I read inspirational books. I read books of mystical poetry. I read my own books. I keep my mind filled with the spiritual awareness of God's presence and of the non-power of anything other than God. I choose to do this because the fruitage is so wonderful in my life. The benefits are so wonderful, not only for me, but for those who come in contact with me, that I feel I'd be wasting my life if I wasted it on other things. Or a little relaxation once in a while with a good detective story is all right, or a cowboy story. But this is only for a little while. The days and the nights must be given to God, to truth. And my mind, which will reflect whatever I put into it, by keeping it filled with God, it reflects good in my body. Now, the wonderful thing is this. Mind and body is really one. Mind is the substance or the essence of which this body is formed. And it is for this reason that if I entertain truth in my mind, I receive harmony in my body. If I entertain evil, discord, sin, two powers in my mind, I reflect those two powers in my body. Whatever it is that I accept in my mind, my body manifests. The mind itself is pure, the body itself is pure, but it is what food I take in to my mind that determines the nature of mind and body. And therefore, the Master says, we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the more word of truth I feed my mind, the more harmonious my body becomes. Not only this, the more truth I feed my mind, the more harmonious your body becomes. Because the moment you bring yourself to me for help, that which is taking place in my mind becomes the law unto your body. And if I am filling my mind with God, harmony appears in your body. Watch this with your cats and dogs and birds. The amount of hours in which you keep your mind filled with truth determines how peaceful and harmonious your house pets will be. We have experimented with this in classrooms where school teachers who are students of the Infinite Way have carried their meditation into the classroom and found that no child failed in their examinations in a whole term, and where they had no delinquency and no bad children after a very short period. In other words, the children responded to the truth kept in the teacher's mind. This is true in households. It is the degree in which we embody truth in our minds that governs the conduct of all those who come into our family life. Now, if we are going to malpractice, if we are going to see each other as we humanly appear to be, that's going to be too bad, because we're going to bring out in them what we're seeing in them. If, however, we can learn to disregard the appearance and inwardly say, I know thee who thou art the Holy One of Israel. You are the offspring of God. God constitutes your soul and your mind and your being and your body. God constitutes your whole nature and being. And any evil appearance belongs out here in that vast mental illusion of nothingness. And then see how you change the nature of everything that comes within range of your consciousness. You can see, however, that in the message of the Infinite Way, the responsibility is on your shoulders and mine, not the teaching. The teaching is there in the books, but it can't do anything for you except as you embody it in your living. Reading it and saying how beautiful it is will not do it. This is really a life practice. You have to learn to stop malpracticing men and women and children and animals. You have to turn and change your life and no longer malpractice by saying, oh, I'm a good psychologist, I can tell an evil person right away. Maybe you can. You'd be far better off if you can't. Far better off if you can accept this truth. God constitutes man. And then take the illusory, the negative appearance, the evil appearance, put it out here in space. You belong to the carnal mind, the vast mental illusion, the belief in two powers, and God didn't make you, and that ends it. And as you persist in that, may take a short while, in some cases a longer while, but you can't lose. You can't lose because this is the principle of life. This is the way it has been revealed. And please let me tell you, with more than 30 years of practice behind it, not a theory thought up last year, not just a scrap of paper written down in a hurry, these principles that I've given you have had 30 years in my experience, and now 17 years in the experience of the practitioners whom I've taught. And they're doing well with it. They're doing well in proportion, as they are not fighting people and conditions out here and trying to change them, but are going inside and realizing the change must take place within me. In proportion as I can loose them and let them go, in that proportion are they made free. Any questions, have them written or typed for me tomorrow night, and we'll finish this subject. Thank you.